Good afternoon to you. It is Tuesday, May 14th at 2:46 p.m. This is going to be a quick cast. It's going to be like that. Something I have to get to. But had a couple thoughts wanted to get out to you before I look a little bit into football or something else at the end of the week, kind of burning a hole in me. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I wanted to readdress it with a little bit more thoughtfulness. Tell you where I'm coming from, and we can discuss a little bit, but I don't know if I'm gonna have time to discuss with you today, just because of time constraints. So what I want to look at is I have another thought too. I want to talk a little bit about what Zach Edey's been doing at the NBA Combine. He's looked impressive. No one watching this, listening to this, I think would be surprised by that. But at the same time, there are a lot of haters out there that keep moving the finish line. We'll talk a little bit about that. I think maybe later in the week, I might get to that. But right now, I just wanted to address this and talk about this. Obviously, a ton of change, a lot of change in West Lafayette from a lineup standpoint. Coming next year, you lose a multi-year starter in Gillis. You lose, who's the sixth man of the year? You lose Zach Edey, two-time, still crazy to say it, two-time National Player of the Year in college basketball. And you lose Ethan Morton, of course. All of them have found greener pastures in some way or another. Hopefully they have great seasons for Gillis and Morton. And hopefully Edey just keeps making haters look like dumbasses. And I think he will. I think you can almost rest assured that he will, just because of there are a couple things that aren't that don't show up at the combine. Work ethic is a big one. And of course, his will is a big one. And that set a tone for Purdue basketball. Like I said, we'll talk about that another day. But first, let me talk a little bit about what I think is going to happen next year. And my thumbnail today may show the whole story, but I think it's a little more complex than just that mere thumbnail. When I look at the lineup, obviously, it's very easy to say you're going to have Braden Smith at point guard. You're going to have Fletch Lawyer at shooting guard, and you're going to have TKR at power forward. excuse my allergies. It's bad this year. Bad this time of year. Those guys, I think, are shoe-ins simply because not only did Paint ask a lot for them last year, but they gave it. They did what he asked them to do. Painter found that these guys did what he wanted to do, and he really believes that they are in the right place at the right time. They understand the system where they're supposed to be. But who are the other two guys that are going to start? And then after that, what's the depth chart look, at least to start the season? I'll tell you who I think those other two guys are and why I think they're going to be there more than anything. So let's look at that. If you're gonna complete a lineup and you're coming out of an era of 2 year dominance with a 7-footer, of course you're gonna put a 7-footer in there, right? Well, not so fast. I don't think so, and I tell you why I don't think so. It comes down to how do they fit within the offense? What can Painter get out of these guys when it comes to analytics? Meaning, who's gonna rebound? Who's gonna do what he expects them to do? Who understands the system? Who does he believe knows what to do, where to be, and when to be there? And for me, that makes it pretty simple. I would pencil in right now Caleb First, and a lot of people out there may disagree with me. Caleb First has had a history of starting off season strong and kind of fading when it gets after December and January. And I think that might still be the case next year, meaning his role may diminish as the year goes on and other new guys figure out what they're supposed to do. Maybe guys get a little bit stronger, a little bit used to the new rigors of what they're dealing with, meaning those six freshmen that are coming in. There might be some guys that are able to move First, at least take some minutes from him as the season progresses. But I think right out of the gate, I think you're going to see Caleb First playing, and then alongside him, not really alongside him, but at the wing, you could call him a shooting forward, and then we can mess with titles a little bit, because I've got Smith at point guard, Lawyer at shooting guard, First at shooting forward, and TKR at power forward. But at wing, I call it wing here. I know it's a little different in the terminology what Purdue's been using the last couple of years. At wing, I have Camden Heidi starting the season there. And if you look at that entire lineup, I think I touched on this when the very good question was asked in the live feed. What I thought the starting lineup would look like. I think Heidi provides some physicality that I think Painter really wants out of his teams. One thing he's really sought is guys that can rebound, guys that can be hard-nosed around the hoop. And so for that reason, instead of having one gigantic human being that's pretty much Superman around the hoop, you put three really physical bodies there. Heidi first and TKR, and you try to say, okay, the system changes a bit, but you still have guys that have that a little bit of a junkyard dog mentality to them at times. One thing that'll change, and I said I thought this would change regardless of who was starting, was I thought Purdue would play with a higher pace next year. I think we'll see a lot of changes to the system. Maybe PJ Thompson will be able even more involved in cooking up some things, but I definitely think we'll see some change in the system. I know, I can hear some of you right now. I can almost hear some of you saying, Boiler down, but the seven footers, this is Painter's system. Well, not so fast. You don't have to go back very far. And if you're thinking quickly here, look back to 21 and 22. No seven footer in the starting lineup. Granted, Trey Williams split time with Zach Edey. We all know that. But Travion Williams and Mason Gillis were the guys near the basket, right? It was a different lineup. You obviously had some athleticism with Ivy out front and you had some shooters. But Gillis and Williams were a pretty good tandem. Then coming off the bench, you had a seven-footer come in and hit you in the mouth. An inexperienced but skilled seven-footer. So who will be behind TKR, right? Well, here you go. That's where I think Berg comes into play. Right away, you have Berg, and then behind him, Jacobson. The only reason I have those in that order, obviously, is because we've seen a little bit of Berg. We've seen what he can do. Now he gets a complete summer where he can, if he's healthy, that's a big deal. A complete offseason where he's healthy, and he gets a complete offseason working with Coach Brantley. Him and Jacobson, both 7'3", both impressive, imposing bodies. Yet another reason to fear Purdue for the outsider who thinks, oh, with Edey gone, everything changes. Not so fast, but those guys coming off the bench could provide a pretty destructive 1-2 punch off the bench. There are a lot of people say there's got to be some guys that redshirt, and I agree. I wouldn't put Jacobson in that group to be a redshirt candidate. I'll tell you in a minute who I think will be a redshirt candidate. After first, I think Burgess spells him. 6'10", 225-pound power forward. Big body, good length, ability to shoot on the outside, but he's strong. He's going to have to obviously learn the system a bit. He's a lot different than first. He's another really, really big guy. And he can't run the floor like first right out of the shoot. You'll notice the difference in athleticism and quickness, okay? Behind Heidi, this is where I put my most, I don't know how to say it, the guy I'm looking forward to seeing play for Purdue more than anybody, starting right off at the beginning of the season, I believe Catchings will make it hard on Painter to put him on the bench to start the season, but I still think he will start the bench on the season as a starter, simply because, like I said, that ability to be physical and get on the glass, I think Catchings will come off the bench. And he might come off the bench behind Heidi. You might see him move around. I think he can play many different positions. But really, the wing, this is Catchings' position. Will Catchings be starting by January? He may very well be. In fact, I think he probably will be. If I were a betting man, that's where I'd say you'd see the change. We've seen this in the past with Painter's teams. There was no reason to do it this past year. But this past year is a little bit of the unusual situation, not necessarily the rule. Behind Lawyer, let me revisit one more thing. Behind Catchings, see, I go three deep here. And you've got Waddell. Waddell is still on the roster. He's a guy that I think will probably accept walk-on status, I'm guessing. I just don't know how this works. We haven't heard anything official, in case you're wondering. Some people in comments have asked that question. Have I heard anything? I have not. And I don't think I'm the only one. I've been trying to find answers to this. If you guys have found something real, meaning a very, very, very good source, you're welcome to put it in the comments. But I can't sound off on that other than, at this point, it's me guessing a little bit, but I do think Waddell can provide a lift and still have a role in this Purdue team. I don't think he'll surpass Catchings, though. I think Catchings is that good, and I think Catchings, like I said, will be a starter eventually next season. Will he start in front of Heidi? I don't know about that, but he will come in and spell Heidi, I think, initially. Behind Lawyer, of course, you're going to have Miles Colvin, and think of the firepower there you've got coming off the bench. I think Colvin and catching specifically are going to make it very, very difficult on Painter to say, how do I use all these guys? How do I use their minutes? These guys can all score. Now, the question will be, can they play defense with them? If you don't know anything about Catchings, I would highly suggest go watch highlights. He's got plenty of them on YouTube. But for his 40-minute average when he was playing OTE last season, he was 24-10. He shot the 36%, pretty good, and he's got great length. He's 6'8". He's got a huge wingspan. I believe it's over 7 feet. This is a guy that's made for the NBA. I don't know if he's a one and done. I don't think he is based on just his build. He doesn't look like a guy that, to me, is ready for that, but I wouldn't rule him out, though, at the same time. I really would love to see him in a Purdue uniform for 2 years. If he's there for just two, I mean, that means good things have happened. And he developed physically, got to the point where he's ready. I also want him to see him in a Purdue uniform for 2 years just because of stability for the program. So I had Lawyer, then Colvin. After Colvin, Benter. This is a guy, he's my sleeper of the class. I think he's really, really good. He can do a lot of different things. He's not just a shooter. He can attack the basket, dynamic scorer. And now, of course, this is an interesting thing here because you've got Smith, who played second most minutes after Edie. Especially down the stretch, I think he was playing 37, 38 minutes a game. So he doesn't sit on the bench a lot. But behind him, you're going to have Jakari Harris. Now, Jakari Harris is a combo guard. You can move him around, put him different places. Again, this is a different challenge than last year. Painter has to manage all this talent and find a way to put the best combos together. That's why I think you're going to see a lot of playing with the lineups. And as the year goes on, you'll see different combos, especially when Purdue's playing, let's just say, less strong teams in December. There's going to be plenty of time for that. Purdue's picked up some guys or some teams on the schedule, but they still, like I said, do not have the pre-con schedule they had the last two seasons. So Harris is behind Smith. And then behind Smith, you've got Cox, the guy out of New Hampshire. A lot of people seem to forget what he's about. He was not a throw-in, but he's a guy that Painter thought was interesting because of his mentality and his defense. And if Painter noticed a guy because of his defense, and we haven't heard anything about sending him off to prep school, that means Painter believes in this kid. I think he's really sharp. I think he's got a great mentality on defense, and he's ready right away to play defense. Now, is he a redshirt candidate? I'd say he could be a redshirt candidate, but I think this summer will be really important for CJ Cox. So Benter is probably a guy that they may talk about redshirting. Cox might be a guy they talk about redshirting. And then a lot of people think Jacobson or Burgess could look at that. I don't think so. I think both of those guys will be in the rotation right away based on the fact they're big. Jacobson is long, but he is not the widest body under the basket. I just don't think either of those guys will be redshirt candidates. So if I'm just guessing, and that's what I'm doing based on what I see, Benter and Cox are those two. I don't think both will redshirt. I think you'll see one redshirt, actually. And I have not seen any official word on the scholarship. So that's about all I've got to talk about with that lineup. And like I said, I've got 5 minutes left before a very, very important date with one of my favorite people in the world. So I'm going to look at your comments and your questions. I appreciate everyone tuning in live. It is an unusual time, Tuesday at 3:00. But then again, so as somebody said, what time should I plan on you coming on the air? I don't know. And it's all based on when I have a moment in the day to get out and talk to you. Let me get a drink real quick. Nate Benter says, hello on this beautiful Tuesday. How are you, Nate? Thanks for tuning in. Steve Kendall, long time no talk, long time no see. And he's on, says rain and clouds, but you are a bright spot. Thank you, Uncle Steve. Appreciate that. It is rainy. It is dreary a little bit in central Indiana. But the studio lighting is helpful, as you know. Joe Inslee says, don't forget Lance. What am I? Oh, yeah, Lance. Yeah, my bad. So Lance is a departure. This is fair, Joe. I don't mention him as a senior, and that's completely my fault. Obviously, Lance is extremely important to the program, and I was a big fan of Lance's, but I was just looking at the departures of the guys that were born and bred in Purdue. And that maybe that's brainwashing by Painter and the way he thinks. And Lance has been extremely important. So I apologize to Lance and all of his fans and all of you. Ted Berkey popping in to say hello while in a meeting. I'll catch it later. Thank you, Ted. Nate Benner, I like the thought. Massive off season for him. Can he grab it? Hope so. I don't know what we're talking about there. I apologize. Ted Hoosier says, boiler up, friends. This is a pleasant surprise. Glad you're here. Joe Inslee, didn't Travion start over Harms? Yeah. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, so that would have been the year before. That would have been 2021. I'm sorry. I'd have to check. I know in 19 and 20, Harms came off the bench, right? Because that was the, no, 20 and 18 and 19. Pardon me, 18 and 19. But I know Travion started over Harms, Harms last year on campus. Dagnab my brain. I gotta look at stats. Someone can answer smarter than me. Dick Stillwagon says, I believe. Thank you. I'm glad you appreciate the network. It's good. We're still trying to figure out what's going on with that. Dead Hoosier says, I'm ready for Big Will. And I am too. I'm with you on that as well. I think Berg is going to be good. And I think he's going to give Purdue a different look. Now, part of the thing Painter said is you didn't have Zach Edey pop out to shoot threes, even though we can see he can shoot threes in the combine. Will Berg will not be as dominant of a force underneath the basket as Zach Edey for a lot of reasons. Zach Edey's motor is super underrated. The fact that he would go down and just create so much havoc. But the other thing is, why would you pull that guy away from the hoop when you had such a high usage and just such a physically imposing force. So it's going to be a little bit different. Todd Singer says, Nate, that's also what Brian Newbert said at GBI. Okay. I gotta stop doing this. Garon Gable says, I don't think that, the walk-on situation will ever be official. Yeah, they don't have to announce anything, Ron. You're correct. They really don't owe it to anybody. And this is where I start asking the question about, how can you use NIL money? And I just don't know the answer to that. I would assume you could still give NIL to walk-ons, and why couldn't you easily get NIL money to someone so they could pay for their education? But that seems wrought for problems. But if someone knows the answer to that question, I really would like to know it, because I do not know that right now. So Jose says, catching may start. I completely agree. I think Catchings is going to threaten to start right away. I think he's that skilled. If you've been hanging around here a lot, you know that he's my favorite recruit. I mean, it's close to ever. I'm very excited to see him, but I just don't know if he'll start right out of the gate. I think Painter's really going to want rebounding. That's what my gut says. And you saw last year when Edey was out, rebounding numbers went so far down. That's my thesis. That's my reason for thinking. Motor City Boiler says, taking the kid to basketball camp at the end of June. If I get a chance, I'll ask around if anyone is redshirting. Good. Ears on the ground are good. Nate Benner says, great minds think alike, Todd. Todd Singer, the Alliance announced a partnership with West Fork Distillery for a bourbon commemorate this year's Final Four. That's awesome. And they that's the second bourbon collaboration. That's awesome. Dead Hoosier talks about Cox being another hidden gem. Right on. Karen Gerlach, thanks for this. Made my day. Agree with your early starting five. Thank you. Like I said, this is just my theory. Let's get bounced. Strippy Tony says, Scullies are dinosaurs in the NIL era. And it feels like that. It really feels like that. Last week I talked about, I think the overhaul will happen relatively soon, like by rule. But there's so many things that are needed. You're going to need collective bargaining agreements. You're going to need contracts. You're going to probably need, I just don't even want to get into it. And this is a hard thing. In the long run, maybe things will feel normal and planned and structured. In the short run, things feel teetering on the edge of not in control. Like they're playing with the status is something we all love. College basketball, if you're here, you love it. If you love Purdue, you're here. Not if you love Purdue, you're here. But if you're here, you love Purdue. So yeah, all this stuff feels like it's right on the edge of a precipice, and things tip quickly. but it also could go well. I don't know if it can get much worse than the way it is right now without the structure, but it has to get better. And they need to put some structure around these players, around these contracts, around these agreements. A lot of changes need. In the meantime, what do you do with a guy that is a walk-on in name only? You know, I don't know the answer. I don't know what's legal. So that's about it. Hope you have a great day. God bless you. Hammer down, and I'll talk to you again this week. I'm going to really try to get maybe in the next day or so. So we'll see you. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.